me.
I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bathroom. That's what that sounded like. Garrett Fox, G Fox, the Freedom Fox. How are you doing? Yeah, I don't have anybody. Hello, gentlemen. Hello, hello, hello. Let's try to get them back. I'm just going to call. I'm just going to talk. We're going to do this right. It's going to happen. It's going to be outstanding. All right. Hello, people. Let's get these people back. Are they back? It is live radio without a net. You're there, right, sir? I hear sirens. Are they coming to take you away? Away? Away?
No, not exactly.
All right. Talk, brother. Let's try to get Dobby Barker on here. And is there a Dobby Barker in the house? Going once. Going twice. Testing new software. On the air. Is Dobby Barker there?
How's it going?
Is that Dobby Barker? Hang on. Let me get
Are we live on the air?
I think we are.
Fixing our technical difficulties?
You have to get a little further back from the mic, brother, but it's good. All right. Now, Garrett Fox. Is Garrett Fox there? Do we have Garrett Fox?
There we go. There we go.
And Dobby Barker?
I'm here.
Okay, there you go.
We made it.
Dobby a little further from the mic. Garrett a little closer to the mic. And yeah, man, this is live radio.
So are you guys ready to do a show? Are we live?
Yeah. We're fully live. Fully live. No, actually, the reason we're here today, we're doing an intervention on Garrett.
Are we?
God. Welcome to your nightmare, sir. So,
yeah.
No, not really an intervention, just friends talking.
Does anyone else feel like they're doing a radio show from a sinking submarine?
No, I feel like we're doing a radio show from a jetliner with one of the four engines is sputtering on and off, and we're going to
decentralized aircraft. Yeah.
Yeah, but we got it.
At least it sounds really good.
It sounds really good. And the thing is, if you notice, there's a difference is that when we laugh and talk over each other, you can still hear everybody. That's not usually the way with Skype. Yeah. We're using something called Blink, which is it's kind of like Skype. And I am going to bring this kicking and screaming into the Liberty world of I think everyone should use Blink. You go to icanblink.com and get Blink and configure it to use the Opus codec. And it sounds better than Skype in a lot of ways, but it mainly it's more solid. It doesn't drop out. Cross my fingers. And
we're off to a great start on that one.
And we can talk over each other with Skype. It like does this annoying kind of traffic cop thing where it like when one person starts talking, another person it picks the louder one and just mutes the other one in a really ugly way. And
well, that works well for you,
yeah, because I get to just go, I am the loudest because I have the control button. So it's also encrypted, which Skype is encrypted, but it's encrypted by the NSA. So this is a little more secure. It's icanblink.com.
Although the radio broadcast is not encrypted.
You guys just both talked to each other. It worked. You talked over each other. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. So wait, go on.
I was saying the radio broadcast is not encrypted.
No. But, you know, if you want to use it to, like, discuss things on the side, you can.
Yeah, I know some gamers that would probably like to use this too.
Gamers generally use Mumble, don't they?
Yeah, or TeamSpeak or something along those lines.
I know LRN is using TeamSpeak now. Not Teen, but TeamSpeak to connect the shows that are done live on LRN to the show clock. But I'm going to do some more testing with this with you guys and recommend. You know, if you're listening to this on the radio and you're going like, what are these guys talking about? I want to hear what Obama's done to me today. You know what? We're so past that. That guy's a tyrant. There's nothing you can do about it. State is going to state. Maybe there's something you can do about it, but it's certainly not vote louder at him. What do you think, gentlemen?
Vote louder at him, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's done something today.
Yeah, I'm sure he's done something today. I wish he would just go play golf and never do any presidenting.
Yeah.
So does he
play golf or does he play basketball or does he use Nixon's bowling alley? They always, every president like adds a recreational sport to the White House. Yeah. So,
Nixon added ping pong without ever playing it because, you know, the ping pong diplomacy with China, which is kind of cool.
Really? Is that what that was for?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's, I think that that kind of stuff can do a lot more than nations can do, than politicians can do, even though they were sent by a nation. And, you know, Forrest Gump claims it was him, but it really wasn't. It was some guy. And, you know, Dennis Rodman claims. Yeah. Dennis Rodman went to North Korea and his basketball diplomacy, played some b-ball.
Yeah. Right. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Guys who are about a third as tall as him. They were like my height. A tall North Korean is like 5'5", like me. Yeah. That's not racist. That's just fact. I mean,
it's probably the only thing a basketball player can do that might cause pause to his fans about whether or not he's doing the right thing.
What, go to North Korea?
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like they can do anything else and get away with it. But cheating. That one hurt his reputation.
Cheating on their wives. Yeah. I don't know.
No, nobody cares if they cheat on their wives. Yeah. The dogfighting didn't seem to hurt. Whoa, that was Michael Vick. Didn't seem to hurt his fans' reputation, although he did get sort of dragged through the media.
So the reason we're talking about software is because we want to improve Liberty Media and get tools available to people. So, Garrett, let's talk about your drinking.
well, before we go off onto that tangent,
I do want
to say one thing about Blanket. Blink, it looks like it's got some pretty cool other services here, too, besides just the VOIP.
Yeah.
Like, you can do file transferring and screen sharing and conference calls and all that stuff.
Yeah. So, it's.
And I was looking to see if they did video or not, but it looks like
it does. It does do video.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, and I'm in direct contact with the programmer of this. I'm chatting with him and some other Blink aficionados on the Blink mailing list, the listserv, which is really kind of cool because I haven't been on a listserv for a software program since about 1995, I think. But it still works. It's like, why did that go away, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cat herding. Yeah, man, you got an example of my cat herding. Like, you know, I didn't know if Garrett was going to be on today, so I called Davi. I used to just have one host for this show, and he was great, but it was kind of a nightmare because if he wasn't available for some reason, I was out of luck. Now I have 12 co-hosts, and I can always get a co-host or two, but there's more cat herding involved, and you got a chance to hear that today, Garrett. I couldn't get a hold of you, and you were scheduled, Garrett, so I called Davi. And Davi was like, yeah, man, if you need me today, let me know. And then I said, yeah, I'll call you at quarter of. And then I called him at quarter of on the blank, and he wasn't there. And I called him on the phone. And he's asleep. And he's like, oh, I thought you meant quarter of midnight tonight, man.
I thought it was the evening show.
There's no evening show on Saturday.
I my days have run together. I thought it was Friday.
That's the thing with self-employment, man. You don't know what the world's up to or what day it is, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Last night I called Garrett and wanted him to install Blink and test it, and he was hammered. And it's his
now, in my defense.
It was Friday night, and you're a free libertarian and single. I mean, engaged.
Yeah, well, that, I'm engaged, but see, that was kind of the beauty of yesterday. My fiance took the day off just because it's been slow at her work. So we had breakfast at like noon, and then right after that, we decided, let's have some mimosas. And then we ran out of champagne, and I was like, I've got this whiskey here. Let's play board games. So we sat there all day long
Was it a drinking game?
It was not a drinking game. It was actually the greatest board game ever, Firefly the board game. So we got very, very involved in it. We actually played like 3-4 hour games or something like that. It was ridiculous. And then apparently that's why I missed all your emails. I was just like, you know what? Forget technology today. I'm not even looking at my computer.
You know, yeah, adding
fun hanging with my lady.
Adding a drink reward when certain things happen in the game would have been counterintuitive to your drinking, huh? Like, you wouldn't have been able right, to drink yes. at the rate you wanted to. Yeah.
Yeah, for some people, that's an excuse to drink. For other people, that just becomes an excuse not to drink.
Yeah. My gaming was getting in the way of my drinking. Yeah. So,
well, the way I do it is, oh, it's my turn. I'm going to take a drink.
And, you know, it's a coincidence that the two hosts on here with you today are well, there's three sober fiends out of 13. And the rest of them are all, you know, they can drink, they drink. And Davi has religious reasons. And then one of the other fiends and I are squares who drank too much 20 years ago and had to stop for 20 years. So we're not having an intervention. I just have a suggestion, which is like, I think all my other drinking friends just don't pick up the phone when I call when they're drunk. Maybe you should do that.
I get so excited, though. I'm like, oh, look, it's Michael.
Let's party with Michael.
What does he want?
I actually got to see you drunk in person. No, it wasn't you. It was Lou and Chandler at Porkfest when I went to give you guys the H2 so you could do the campfire podcast drunk. And they were like, come on, Michael. And it was funny because it was like I'd never seen Lou hammered. And it was funny because Chandler was really hammered the night before on the air, and I kicked him off the air because it wasn't great radio, as opposed to Nikki Darling, who was great drunk on the air. But it was like I was explaining how to use this device to these two guys, to Chandler and Lou, and it was like Chandler, who had been just hammered, too hammered to talk or walk the night before, was like the cogent one. He was the one who was getting it. And Lou was like, I thought Lou was going to punch me. He's like, Michael, you got to stay and podcast with us. Yeah. So, you know, this is the cat herding I do to have 12 co-hosts. And it's a great thing. And I like what we're doing. And I think Blink is going to make it even better if Davi can get rid of that tiny buzz in his brain that we're hearing.
I'll work on it. I'll figure it out.
You'll hang up blankets. Yeah, man. So,
I think at one point you had both of us on the phone. Yeah. You had both of us on our cell phones and connected to the Blink, and we're adjusting settings and everything.
Yeah.
It's a good program. I'm happy with it so far.
Yeah. We'll be back with more. You just try to do a conference call on it from your end. You won't be happy. No, it's easy. I got it. I figured it out. It's good, man. Icanblink.com. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? Then Wyoming might just be the place for you. And freedom-minded folks are already there. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit FreeStateWyoming.org.
All right, Freedom Fiends, this is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker with Davi Barker and Garrett Fox. And yes, people, it's true. It's true. Tommy Ramone died at the age of 62. We can all, I don't know, what do you do? I don't know what you pour on the ground for Tommy Ramone, but he's the last original Ramone, and he died at 62. And I'm sure that a lot of the people that I used to play in bands with who, you know, are now 50 and still wearing leather jackets and, you know, tight pants, even though they have a belly and they're still playing in the same clubs I played with them in 20 or 30 years ago, are really torn up about this and getting drunk and taking drugs and listening to vinyl and getting together with their friends and doing all the same. But, you know, I like the Ramones a lot, but they were never really a part of my self-definition. How about you guys?
I think I missed Ramones. I never really even listened to a couple of years.
You're talking over each other. Go ahead, Garrett.
I was just going to say, I think I missed the Ramones by just a couple of years. I kind of started getting into the punk rock scene, I guess, a little late for me to really get into the Ramones.
Dobby?
But, you know, I always liked the style.
Dobby?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely got into the scene late for them. So for me, the Ramones were a concept. They weren't really a band that I listened to, but they were like in the air, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw them once. It was at the University of Virginia in the gymnasium. And they were, I did not go to school there, but I lived there and hung out with friends who were students. My roommate's band, the Landlords, opened up for them. It was not a place that was conducive to a good show. Basically, there were a bunch of jocks trying to stage dive, and there were a bunch of like paid bouncers trying to beat them up. It was not cool. And then I saw, what was the singer's name? Joey Ramone. He was at a gig that I played. This is kind of cool. He was at a gig I played at CBGB's in New York City with my band Bomb. That was a more punk rock setting to see a Ramone in. He wasn't there to see me. He was there to see Richie Stotts' band, who we were opening up for. Richie Stotts is the guy that, the guy with the 6'4" guy with a mohawk and a nurse's outfit that was in that band, the Plasmatics. Remember them?
Mm-mm. No. I don't think I've ever heard of them.
No. Their singer, Wendy O. Williams, was a former porn actress who sang and used a chainsaw in her act, if that makes sense. But yeah.
That sounds cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
I approve of chainsaws as part of people's act.
Didn't someone get a noise complaint for having chainsaws at Porkfest a couple years ago?
Our food,
I don't know, but that sounds
gullet.
Reasonable.
That was their dinner bell. They whenever they had like a fresh batch of food, they would just it was called Our Food, Your Gullet.
Which is a takeoff on, there was like a cowboy movie or something called like Your Funeral, My Trial or something. Our Food, Your Gullet. Well, there's a Nick Cave song called Your Funeral, My Trial, which is kind of dark.
Yeah, so once you heard that chainsaw get fired up at Porkfest, you knew it was time to go over there and get some food because they just whipped up a fresh batch of whatever they were cooking over there.
Yeah.
They were sort of a good example of, I guess, a market response to ostracism. Somebody circulated a flyer that was a noise complaint that said, don't go to these guys. They make noise in the middle of the night, and they upset everybody. And then Our Food, Your Gullet put up a sign that said, hey, bring in one of these flyers, and we'll give you 10% off.
That's kind of funny. That's the market. You know, people believe that ostracism would be the only market indicator for negative activity or perceived negative activity in a libertarian free market. But apparently, if you're really good at the free market, you turn it into a marketing opportunity. We will accept our condemning flyers. And speaking of condemning flyers, I really don't want to talk about this guy, but we're going to have to. I'm gonna tweak this for the next. I'm gonna put up a little. All right, go to thedailyanarchist.com. If you're listening, go to thedailyanarchist.com. Or is it? No, it's
just
Daily
Anarchist.
Daily Anarchist. They're daily. They're everywhere. Go to dailyanarchist.com, and there is a post at the top. Oh, I don't even want to say the title of it. It's by Davi Barker. We can't say the name of this person on radio.
We can just call him Tony Clifton if you want.
Yeah, well, it's about the guy in Liberty that everybody knows. I don't like talking about him because he's like Beetlejuice. You mention his name and he appears and tries to wreak havoc, but I am not a sensitive person. So
somehow it gets on our blink.
It's called, I'll say it once. The article's called When Should You Shoot Chris Cantwell? And we're going to discuss it with its author, Davi Barker. And yeah, that is my butt with his face on it in the picture at Porkfest. All right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pines Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
You know what that sounded exactly like? There's a band. There's a really cool band called Deconstruction. It was three quarters of Jane's Addiction. It was Jane's Addiction without the singer and with the bass player in Jane's Addiction singing. And he has a really deep voice and used a lot of delay. And the music kind of sounded like that. Check out the Deconstruction album. They did one album. They never toured. So Davy Barker wrote an article on The Daily Anarchist called "When Should You Shoot Chris Cantwell?" And that's the second time I've said that guy's name. And I'm never going to say it again because one of the names for this guy is He Who Cannot Be Named. And I actually coined that name about a year ago because about a year ago, Nima Vedati and I had a discussion about this guy and decided the best thing to do was to just ignore him to the point where his name became a swear word on our show. And like recently the hippies were on and they mentioned him in passing. They were talking about these flyers at Porkfest and I hit the cuss dump like it was the F word and it never went out on air. And I cut it out of the archive.
The C word.
You can't say that guy's name. So I started calling him He Who Cannot Be Named. After the guitar player in the band, the Dwarves, the San Francisco punk band from the '80s had a guitar player named, He Who Dare Not Speak His Name or something like that. It's He Who Cannot Be Named, I think, which is also in Harry Potter, apparently, the name of Voldemort or something, who's like the devil incarnate, you know?
Yeah.
I think of He Who Cannot Be Named, this guy in Liberty, more like Beetlejuice, you know? You say his name and he just appears and like demands attention. We mentioned him once in passing.
Speak of the devil and they send Chris Cantwell.
I'm going to hit the cuss dump if you say it again. He Who Cannot Be Named.
Okay, that's a mouthful, man.
I'm building the cuss dump. Okay, so
you both owe money to the cuss jar.
Mm-hmm. The Bitcoin
cuss jar.
It was a Bitcoin cuss jar. It's a 1/10 of a Bitcoin for every swear the first time.
Wow, that's expensive.
And then it's a Bitcoin for every swear the second time. And the third time you get kicked off the show. And the C word is in that name. So this is based on an article. Well, there was an article by Larkin Rose, who's a guy we like. I don't have any pony in the fight of like, is it okay to discuss these things? I think it's more the don't be a Richard principle, you know, don't be a whatever. Right. But there's an article from several years ago by Larkin Rose, who was kind of a D to me in person when I met him. But I still like, you know, I met him. I'm like, hey, I'm Michael Dean. He like shook my hand without looking at me. He's like, yeah, I know who you are. And then just didn't talk to me. But but that's not the C word guy. That's Larkin Rose, who wrote this article several years ago and made a video. It's called "When Is It Okay to Shoot a Cop?" And his basic premise was, if you're a gun owner and you believe in the Second Amendment, there should be cops getting shot all the time. It was, you know, a lot of this is like, and a lot of the people who follow these guys and love them and say this is great are kind of internet tough guys who want to speak like that but would never actually do it. And I like what Davy said is like, I don't really want to discuss that whole premise until there's a test case. And I don't think that thing in Vegas was a test case because it was targeting collectively random people. And those people were horrible who did that. But you know, the thing right. of like, I think a test case is the guy who in Texas, who the cops kicked in his door, to raid him for pot. And he just thought it was a home invasion by non-government thugs and just shot. And I'm glad that right. guy's not going to prison for that, but he's going to prison for the pot. So, I don't like internet tough guy-ness, and I think Larkin Rose and He Who Cannot Be Named, they don't do it nearly as well as God. Like, it's a new thing to a lot of people. People are like, wow, this is bold, and we need to discuss this. And it's like, I was reading Boston Tea Party 8 years ago, and Boston Tea Party has been, you know, writing, like, fiction with almost manuals on how that would be done. And I don't – I'm not encouraging it. I don't think you can shoot your way to liberty. I really don't. I think it's nope. – I think right. the answer is well, educational. I mean, like,
Larkin Rose put some skin in the game. I mean, he went to jail for tax evasion on principle. So, I mean, like, I don't want to say that he's just an internet tough guy.
There you go.
But –
no, I'm mainly talking about he Chris, who cannot be
Chris
named.
Chris Cantwell.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
He
I'm
who
sorry.
Cannot be named is an internet tough guy, and so are a lot of the people who
he
like him.
He shall not be named. Yeah, he is. He's a mouth. I don't know if you've seen those videos of him firing where it looks like it's the first time he's ever held a gun.
Yeah, man. You should go see. I just put up the whole movie High Def on YouTube of gun training for the non-aggression with the non-aggression principle, which is a great movie that I produced. It's a how-to with my friend Jared Waltz, who's a qualified and licensed gun instructor, but qualified is the important thing there. It's a great movie, man. And anybody who's talking about an armed revolution who sweeps themselves with a .38 revolver and almost shoots themselves in the leg while trying to make some point on the internet is not the guy who should be your leader. It should be, if you need a leader at all, it should be a quieter guy like Jared Waltz in gun training with the non-aggression principle. But that all aside, I think he who cannot be named might be a cop. That's my take on the whole
thing. I think he's a fictional character. I don't even think he's a real person.
He's a fictional character in that, you know, the Tony Clifton thing of like, who's the guy? Colbert, Stephen Colbert. Like, there's Stephen Colbert, the person who's a left wing kind of quiet loon. And then there's Stephen Colbert, the character, who is a right wing, you know, loudmouth and
circus barker.
Yeah. But he's funny. That's good comedy. I don't even like He Who Cannot Be Named's comedy. I like some of the only thing good I can say about him is he can write some good blog posts that are like really well thought out, well written, no typos, which is pretty amazing for the internet. Mm-hmm. But I almost think if you go back to the he might be a government plant, maybe those are written by some committee, because his persona in person and in videos is completely just a carnival barker, you know?
Well, I mean, I've not examined that particular accusation, but I think of him as a fictional
that
character.
That he might be a cop, or that his articles are written by someone else?
Neither had occurred to me.
And I'm not
going to... I try not to play Who's the Fed, because nobody wins Who's the Fed.
All right, let me backtrack on that a little bit. And I don't want to debate this guy. I know his thing. Like, if you mention him in passing, he demands to come on your show and be debated. I'm not going to debate him, because my only thing is that he's an a-hole, and that's in his tagline. That's on his business card. That's all I'm saying. I think he has a lot of the indicators of a COINTELPRO agent. COINTELPRO was an FBI program in the 60s to infiltrate the anti-war movement. And basically, they would send someone into a group full of people, you know, a bunch of hippies who were talking about overthrowing the government or whatever, and who were peaceful, and they'd send a Fed in with long hair undercover to like rally them up and say like, no, peace isn't going to work. We need to start blowing stuff up, or we need to start shooting cops, like literally that kind of stuff, saying the most radical stuff they could, and then get a bunch of people saying it, and then be able to like shut down that organization or that wing of the organization. And or you know, bust somebody trying to make a bomb. And they do that now with Muslims. They go find the dumbest kid in the mosque. They say, you know, nobody likes you. You need to plant a bomb. Here's a bomb. And they give him a box of sugar and tell him to go put it under a bridge. And then, you know, arrest him and say, we stopped a bomb. And I don't necessarily think that he who cannot be named is a cop, but he has all of the indicators of it. He's came out of nowhere, came into the Liberty Movement, got really loud. It's kind of interesting to me that he moved to Keene across the street from Free Talk Live studios and, you know, the Ian Freeman's house, and now is like on the show.
Right.
Because, you know, Rich Paul is in jail because he wouldn't wear a wire going into that house. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this guy who's talking about shooting cops moves across the street and is like on the radio show. I don't necessarily think
anyone that doesn't know.
I don't necessarily – let me finish this. I don't necessarily think the guy is a cop, but I think he's good for the cops, because he's getting internet loudmouths to say, yes, we need to start shooting cops, who would never do it and would never say it. And he's serving the purpose of helping the government get a bunch of people on a list of who's the loudest, craziest people. Okay, so yeah. Garrett, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, for anyone that doesn't know, that COINTELPRO is actually short for Counterintelligence Program.
Yeah.
And that is very widespread. I guess there's this whole thing where you're supposed to look at the people's boots, I guess. Have you guys seen the pictures with the red circles and everything?
Yeah, they don't change their shoes.
Yeah. I mean, because there was a whole lot of that at like the G8 summits and the G20 summits and everything, where there was actually cops out there setting cop cars on fire and stuff just to get...
It happened in the Occupy movement, too. Happened. There were cops that came forward and said, yeah, I was in the Occupy movement, and there's all sorts of photos of marches where, like, circle this guy's face in this photo and this guy's face in this photo. Oh, look, the cop changed sides.
Yeah, so... Right? I'm not saying this guy's a Fed. I'm saying he's doing a great service to the Feds. He is stirring up. He's basically getting a bunch of people to say things they wouldn't say otherwise, to put them on the list, and to be able to like decry the whole movement as non-peaceful. You know, I mean, he's going to be on. He's going to be on Colbert Report recently. He was interviewed when they went to interview the Keene
authors.
Yeah, he's going to be the national voice of the libertarian movement. And you know, Colbert always picks the nuttiest person and like frames them in the little fake news piece they do. It's going to be him.
You know, the thing is, he is also in addition to all of this, he is also so obviously an egomaniac, and that doesn't strike me as the way an undercover person acts, if that makes sense. Like that's the
Well, it would be if it was someone who'd been arrested for something, who already was an egomaniac, who was told, okay, you can go to prison for 75 years on this non-crime, or you can become our B. And you can still be who you are, but you need to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I like this parallel you draw, Davi, with the Tony Clifton, Andy Kaufman thing.
What, yeah.
Because which
one
was
should
the
be
wrestler?
High praise to a comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the idea, Tony Clifton was... Yeah, Tony Clifton was Andy Kaufman's alter ego, and he was the one who was sort of designed to say outrageous, offensive, a-hole things so that Andy Kaufman wouldn't take the heat from his own temper.
The thing is, though, I've heard from many people, like, oh, I know he who cannot be named. He's a good guy in person. It's a persona he puts on, but he's gone up to women and hit on them, and when they've said no, he's, like, called them a slew of names. That's not... a persona. You can't say, oh, I was drunk. Wine brings truth, man. It brings out the real you. I want to buy him a drink. I'm sober, but yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and I come not to praise he who cannot be named, but to bury him. it can't be done. There's, you know, he's popular because people like violence. And, you know, the thing is, like, he loves that he's popular, and he loved it before he was popular and claimed he was popular because he was misreading Alexa rankings, which can be manipulated by 5 people clicking on your site, because it's kind of like it just counts the people who have the Alexa toolbar, which he was giving out to people. But he is popular now. But popularity, I mean, Obama's popular. War is popular. Bombing, you know, killing children in the Middle East is popular. Popularity doesn't mean you're good. And some of my
Justin Bieber is popular.
Yeah, and I think that Ben Stone did call He Who Cannot Be Named the Miley Cyrus of Liberty at one point. But
the Miley Cyrus of Liberty.
Yeah. So in this article, When Should You Shoot Chris Cantwell by our co-host Davi Barker on the site dailyanarchist.com. That just sounds so shocking to most people. You say some intense stuff. You say you seem to imply you want this guy to stick his gun in his mouth and pull the trigger.
Well, that's the thing. The headline is not addressed to me or you. It is addressed to him himself. And so, I'm saying it may be time for Chris Cantwell to put a gun in his own mouth because he's already committed an act of aggression.
A bunch of them, but
he'd probably miss.
is that a Fight Club reference?
There are some Fight Club references in here, So part of this is I think he's a fictional character. And so really what I'm talking about is I'm talking about the Andy Kaufman shooting the Tony Clifton. I think that it's time for this person, whoever he is, to invent a better character because this one is not doing anybody any good.
You know, he was a drunk. He did a lot of things drunk. Cantwell did a lot of things drunk and says, well, I was drunk. I'm sober now. But, you know, there's a saying in AA, which he'll never go to because he doesn't know that there are atheist
meetings. He's a dry drunk, right?
Yeah, he's a dry drunk, which is worse than being a drunk. I recently got 20 years sober, and I don't want to debate Cantwell. I don't want to have a conversation with him. I don't talk to police. What'd you say whoa about?
It's another one in the Bitcoin. That's another one in the
language, Bitcoin, Michael. You gotta watch.
I know, I'm saying the C word all over the place. But, you know, basically, I would like to buy him about 40 drinks and help him relapse.
Wow. What does dry drunk mean?
Dry drunk means you're an alcoholic, you've stopped drinking, but you're not doing anything to improve yourself. Like, basically, alcoholics drink because they've got some problem, you know, mental or emotional or all of the above, like with Cantwell. And when you stop drinking, if you're not going to AA or you're not going to therapy or you're not in some religious thing, you're not doing something to better yourself. If you're just a dry drunk,
you're just waiting for something to push you over.
Yeah, because really, alcoholics drink to medicate a problem. And when you take away the medication, if you don't get some kind of other, you know, change in your life, you're worse. You are a powder keg waiting for a match, basically. And this show may be that match.
You got to check out this movie Flight. A lot of what we're talking about here is in this movie, and the guy is Denzel Washington, who's the pilot in this plane, who gets drunk and does some of the powdery substances and saves a flight full of people by flipping the plane upside down and somehow managing to make it land safely.
Yeah.
But then there's an investigation, so
but that's
he gets
fiction.
All wrapped up in it. I'm using air quotes here. It's based on a true story, so there is some truth to it.
So
it's on Netflix.
I don't hope this guy puts a gun in his mouth, but there's a quote that's attributed to Mark Twain that someone else actually said is, I've never wished anyone dead, but I've read some obituaries with glee. I think that the way this guy's going, he's going to be dead, whether he's a cop or not, because he still goes out in the not too distant past, he has done things that were just really rude to people who don't live by the non-aggression principle. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a woman he insults who kills him or her boyfriend or, you know, one of his handlers or whatever. But I don't think he's a cop.
Or a cop.
Because, you know, even if he is a fed, they don't always get the note. The local police don't always get the note. So we'll see what happens. And it's an interesting topic that I'm never going to speak of again. I don't care what people say.
Hear, hear.
Someone had to say it. Someone with some juice had to say it. Everyone's been cowering, and people are afraid to talk about this guy, man. I'm not.
It's a conversation that needs to be had.
It's a conversation that's been had, and it's ended. I'm not going to have it.
All right. Moving on. Chapter 2.
In hour two, we're going to review a movie called Mr. Nobody that Davi hasn't seen, but Garrett and I have, and it's cool, man.
I have very strong opinions about this movie. I haven't seen it.
Freedom Fiends, hour two, coming up next. Give me a worms, fellas.
Worms. Worms.
What sets Survival Punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance. Applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival Punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival Punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com. Yeah. Yeah.
Worms.
Worms. It's Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and we're no longer discussing Chris Cantwell, although during the break I said, yeah, man, I really kind of hope that guy kills himself, and Davi was like, oh my,
that's over the top.
And, yeah, no. And you started it, man. You're the guy who wrote the post telling him to put his gun in his mouth, and I'm like, I think that'd be a good idea. And you're like, no, I want him alive.
I want him to improve himself. Here's the thing. His life back together. I want to do productive, useful things with his life.
I want to be his AA sponsor and tell him what to do.
There you go.
No, I don't.
Is that what AA sponsors do?
No, they guide you. You know,
tyrant of one.
Yeah, tyrant of one. Some are. Some, especially old guys, are like, if you've got a hot girlfriend and you get an old guy sponsor who's single, like, he'll tell you to drop your girlfriend sometimes. But that's not good AA. Yeah, I don't know. Here's the thing. If that guy killed himself, it wouldn't end the problem in liberty of him. There would be more of him. So I don't hope he kills himself. He's kind of entertaining. People like to talk about him. He's gonna link this, and he's going to love it. Maybe he won't. He'll be like, I don't want to help your Alexa rankings. I'll just be snide and hate you if I ever meet you. But
I mean, maybe it's like the opposite of Ben Stone's great man theory of history thing. Maybe if Chris Cantwell did shoot himself in the mouth, it would just give rise to some other a-hole.
He'd become a martyr. Well, here's what I think. I think people who get banned from Porkfest or anything shouldn't complain very hard about it. It's really not the free market libertarian thing to do. The free market libertarian thing to do is to start your own fest down the road,
yeah,
at the same time or at a different time. You know, they say in AA, all it takes to start a new meeting is a resentment and a coffee pot. And all it takes to start a new Liberty Fest where, you know, it's all Cantwell all the time and you have to wear a Cantwell mask.
A bottle of Jack and a quiet night alone.
Okay, all you need is a bottle of Jack and a pistol that you don't know how to shoot and you almost shoot yourself with. Speaking of that, I was a little concerned about a couple things I saw at Porkfest gun safety wise. Nothing horrified me, but I did see somebody hand me a loaded gun to look at. I have this cool gun. It was a Luger, one of those old Nazi 22s or whatever. And this guy handed it to me to look at, and he swept with a loaded weapon, with no finger not on the trigger, but with a loaded weapon, he swept a tent. And I said, you just did something really unsafe with that gun. And he's like, oh, I didn't point it at anybody. And I'm like, you pointed it at a tent that has people in it, and canvas will not stop a 22. And he's like, oh, like, he kind of looked at me like, oh, you're square, man. You have rules. Here's the thing. I've done two movies that have great sections on gun training, gun safety. Cantwell should go watch these. One is called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. They're both on YouTube in high def, and they're both free torrents of both the DVD and of a high def rip. So you can go see these right now. Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom opens with a really pretty girl giving the four basic rules of gun safety and demonstrating them. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle gives the four rules of gun safety and kind of expands on them a little bit more at the beginning. I'm going to make a video of like those two things back to back, like probably an 8 or 10 minute loop. And we are going to have that on an infinite loop with audio at Davi Barker's table at Porkfest next year, annoying everybody who walks by Agoura Valley because we want to do it as a public service. Derek Slope is going to provide the flat screen, you know, the guy that had the media ambulance, and we're going to show this all the time during the day, and we're probably going to project it on the side of the ambulance at night until we get noise complaints. No, we're not going to get noise complaints, but we're just going to show this. I would like to show Gun Training of the Non-Aggression Principle as a movie showing there, and probably show the new cut of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which is shorter and now with 100% less constitution licking. The voluntarist edit I did of it, it's 20 minutes shorter and better, that I thought of doing while watching it, doing a showing of it at Porkfest. So that's our plans with insafenizing Porkfest next year. So all that said, if you have any comments, make them. Otherwise, we're going on to a movie review. Got any comments, gentlemen, or should we never speak of He Who Cannot Be Named again?
I'm fine moving on.
I'm over it.
Okay. And I'm not done. I'm going to call this episode, Is Chris Cantwell a Cop? Because Chris Cantwell loves to do link bait to get views on his site. And I'm going to take a lesson from him and do that. And it's going to say, Is Chris Cantwell a cop? And then the show notes are going to say, probably not. But we discussed blah, blah, blah. Should he put his gun in his mouth? So moving on, Garrett and I saw
a movie. I'm not saying he's a cop. I'm just saying we should ask the question.
We can't move on. We're trying to move on.
I'm sorry. I'm done.
The guy is link bait. He exists to be talked about, and he should have no problem with this because he loves it. All right. You know you love it, B. All right. So you dirty little. I don't want to talk to him like that. It's too erotic. Okay. So, ew. I just want him to be small enough to drown himself in the bathtub. All right, moving on.
Nima Nobody.
Next person who mentions He Who Cannot Be Named on this show gets fined one Bitcoin forever. All right, and if a caller ever mentions him, cuss dump. We can't take calls anymore. We have Blink. I like it. Okay, so we saw this movie called Mr. Nobody with Jared Leto, and it's pretty bizarre. It's kind of you know, it's not a simple plot. It's not the simple hero's journey. It's more like if you've ever seen the movie Adaptation or The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. It's a complicated movie like those movies. So, Garrett, you turn me on to this movie.
You're not confused.
You're not watching it right.
You're not confused in the first 5 minutes. Yeah, exactly.
But it's a good movie.
That was the first thing going through my mind.
I watched it all the way to the end.
I certainly enjoyed it.
Yeah, Mr. Nobody's a good movie.
See, I was drawn in by the sci-fi part of it, I guess, and I was a little let down during the movie because there's not that much being on a spaceship and everything, but it's neat because this guy basically, like, you meet his three potential wives in the beginning of the movie when they're very young, and so I guess what's going on in this kid's head is he's forced with a decision to make, and I guess he's playing out these different scenarios of his life in his mind. Is that what you gathered from it?
I gathered from it that it was kind of a 11th dimension string theory thing where all three of these alternative lives with the three different wives were happening concurrently, and he was looking back on all of them as an old man. But I saw an interview with the director where he basically implied, no, it's all in the mind of the kid, which is kind of interesting to me. It's kind of a cop-out as a movie plot if that's really what it was, but it wasn't clear watching it. So it's not a cop-out. But when I was a kid, I thought God was three giants in the sky. I thought the whole world was a dream in the mind of three giants who lived in the sky and smoked cigars.
Did you just come up with that? Or
yeah.
Did you see that somewhere?
No, I came up with that.
Just obviously.
Yeah, I had such a good
imprinted on the blank slate.
I had such a good imagination that I actually imagined that knowledge was being transmitted to me from the three giants. While I was like, I mean, it was my first kind of like spiritual experience. I was 7 years old. I was at my aunt and uncle's farm. I was fishing by myself down at the pond. And that thought was downloaded into my head. And I saw the eternity of the whole universe and every note from, you know, the lowest note of like the creation, you know, one creation cycle of the universe to like the highest ultraviolet light and radio and beyond. I heard that chord. And, you know, later while experimenting with psychedelics, which I did a lot younger than Ian Freeman, which is I like to tease Ian about doing that. I'm not really teasing him. I'm kind of living vicariously through him. You know, I'm like, yeah, man, I was doing that when I was 14, but I stopped a long time ago. I don't do that anymore, but I did have some spiritual experiences or things that passed for them on that. And I've had a few others in my life, too. And, you know, the first one I had was when I was 6 or 7 years old and like God downloaded into my head while I was fishing by myself at the pond. It was pretty cool. And it was three giants in the sky. So I kind of dig that this director says that the whole movie is in the mind of the kid. But it's always kind of a cop out to me, like where the end of a movie is obviously it's a dream in someone's mind, because that's what's called the god in the basket. That's the, you know, in Greek plays, when they wrote themselves into a corner and couldn't solve it in the third act with actual writing, they would literally lower a basket that had a symbol of a god in it and basically like, well, God came down and intervened with magic, and then we solved our hero's problem. And that's a cop-out. You know, there's a name for that. Yeah, it's the Deus Ex Machina or something like that. But
they kind of do that in Butterfly Effect, too. Have you seen that one?
No, but you told me, and Netflix told me, if you like this movie, you'll like Butterfly Effect.
If you can get over watching Ashton Kutcher, it's a really good movie.
Well, Jared Leto was
liked Butterfly Effect. I thought it was cool.
Jared Leto was a good actor for this movie because he's not a stellar actor, but he's really good looking, and his physicality, the way he moves, his expressions are very expressive. And there wasn't much acting required from him. And his character was played by three people, like a little kid, a teenage boy, and him, that all looked like him. So he wasn't even in the movie that much. And he played the old man, but it's just him with a lot of makeup on going.
The casting, they did really good casting on this movie, too. Yeah. Like, you can believe that this little kid is a younger version of Jared.
It's all the eyes. They all had, like, big, wide, baby blue eyes.
That's what you told me. They cast their eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably, like,
you got to do that. It's important.
Yeah, to be,
I don't know if you've guys seen the poster for X-Men, but they're supposedly like side-by-side profiles of an old Magneto and a young Magneto and an old Professor X and a young Professor X, and their eyes don't match. And so you can't tell, it doesn't really look like what they're going for.
Yeah. So the basic premise of this movie is the guy, Mr. Nobody, the main character played by Jared Leto and others, is this takes place in the not too distant future, like, I don't know, 70 years from now or something. And medical science has solved the aging problem to where, like, you know, you can get replacement parts and all diseases can be cured. And nobody dies of natural causes. Like, everybody is, you know, probably not eternal, but for all intents and purposes, going to live hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And this guy is the last guy that didn't make it to have that technology, and he's the last mortal.
The last person
that's going to die of natural causes. And he's being interviewed by a guy who for some reason brings ancient technology from like the 60s to interview him.
Yeah, what was that all about?
It was just
bring some like old, like reel-to-reel thing.
Yeah, that wouldn't even necessarily work. Yeah, it was just an effect. And that's a really common device in literature. Like, the whole thing is a backstory. Sometimes they're telling a bartender. Sometimes they're on their deathbed. That aging movie with the guy from Fight Club that was really weird that we didn't like much was kind of like that. He was telling, you know, his...
Case of Benjamin Button.
Yeah, that's the one.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
When I meow, you guys can meow too. You know that. Meow, 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 meow. So, we're talking about the movie Mr. Nobody with Jared Leto. And yeah, I like this movie, but I didn't like things about it. But I watched it all the way to the end. I am a guy who will just have such a short attention span that I will just stop watching something. My wife will generally start a movie or a book and feel compelled. Like, I think it's out of respect to the author or something. Like, I have to finish this. And she doesn't do that as much anymore now that she's got her chromed robot book. You know,
I felt that way about everyone except Ayn Rand.
Yeah, you threw her book at the wall halfway through.
I not even halfway, like 100 pages in. I'm like, why am I reading this?
She's a horrible writer, man.
I mean,
I just get distracted,
gotta give her credit
if I'm reading something.
Yeah, it's not her first language, right? So
Garrett's trying to earn his Pork Scout badge for bookworming. That's why he finishes books.
Yeah, I guess I have to finish the books. No, that's my problem. I can't finish books. Like, I'll literally get to the climactic part of the book, and then it tapers off, or I'll get distracted by another Walking Dead comic or something. So I need short books. I can't get through stuff that's too long.
Well, you ought to read Survivor Max. It is a short book. And it's sort of set in the same world as Walking Dead, if that's your thing. And it's meant for children,
Dobby,
so it should hold your attention.
Yeah.
So what other thoughts do you have on this movie, Mr. Nobody, Garrett Fox?
I would suggest anybody that likes a little bit of a... Would you call this a cerebral movie? I think it is.
Yeah, it's a
because
head movie.
Because there's so much different
movie.
Yeah, yeah. So if you like deep stuff with multiple different stories, I almost want to watch it again just to understand it a little better. It is a little long, but, it's on Netflix. So if you got that, take 2 hours out of your day and...
Take 27 hours? No, it's not that long. It is longer than 2 hours, though, isn't it? Feels like it was.
An hour or 141 minutes, apparently.
That's an hour and 21 minutes.
It's pretty long.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good movie. I'd recommend it. It's not the best movie I've ever seen. I was surprised. Here's the thing. I love movies, and I have to watch 6 or 8 of them a day. Sometimes I do. Or,
TV. Do they have to overlap to meet that quota?
Oh, I have them on 4 screens all at the same time. No, but...
awesome.
But, yeah.
Well, you like cop shows.
I watch more movies. Well, yeah. Because that's where the good writing is, and you have to put on some suspension of disbelief to watch them, which is pretty difficult, but I can do it.
Okay, if you can do that, I have another suggestion for you. Okay. I've been meaning to suggest this show to you. It's called Fringe. J.J. Abrams is like the head producer on it or whatever, but it's basically about fringe science, and there's this little division in the FBI where they go and investigate all this stuff with like... teleportation, spontaneous combustion, like all
wasn't
the weird
that sciences. That sounds like that TV show, The Truth Is Out There. What was that one? X-Files?
X-Files?
Yeah.
It's sort of like the CSI X-Files takes myself, on but... X-Files cases.
Ah, yeah. What's it called? Bingo. I'll write it down. What's it called?
Fringe.
Okay. Well, I watched a little bit of that. Is it British?
No.
Anyway, speaking of alphabet soup government agencies, someone just CC'd an FCC complaint. Someone named Ben Stone wrote, "Dear FCC, I have a complaint about the Freedom Fiends radio show. I just heard the most disgusting language I've ever heard on radio. I can't say the horrible words spoken by the hosts, as I am a good Christian and don't use such words. I can tell you that it was the C word. My wife would slap me across the face and shove soap in my mouth if I said it in front of her, as it is insulting to women." Cantwell. "But they said it right there on the radio over and over. My ears are harmed. I won't be able to sleep tonight. I have been traumatized. I may need counseling. Signed, a concerned voter."
That's so good.
Yeah. I don't know who that guy
is. So what's the opposite of the great man theory?
The small man theory.
The small man theory?
Yeah, I'm just amazed that a couple people I respect dig this guy. And I'm like, really? Why? Man, that's crazy. And the thing is, too, like a lot of people say, he's saying important things in liberty that people need to talk about. There have been people talking about this for 20 years, man. Claire Wolf, 20 years ago, said, we're at an odd stage in life. It's too late to change things by voting and too early to shoot the illegitimate children. The B word. Can't say on radio. But
I think we can wrap it up right
Mike
there.
Mike Vandebau has essays about killing government agents and making soap dishes out of their skulls for taking away gun rights. I mean, it's nothing new, man. We've had him on the show. Here we go.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, there's some Squisscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to The Freedom Fiends on the, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed,
Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $5 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
What's up here on the Freedom Fiends? This is Michael Dean talking to Davi Bunker from My Windowless Barker and Garrett the Fox. What's up, gentlemen?
Mew. Mew.
So we wanted to talk about Davi's book. What's your book, Davi, and where can people find it?
The most recent book is called Authoritarian Sociopathy. It's sort of a psychological look at the various experiments that have been done on how authority makes people evil. And an audiobook now.
Would that also apply to the authority of just having lots of web hits and being popular on the internet?
It's an interesting question. It might. We'll have to do that study.
I think we just did it. But so that's kind of some big words there, authoritarian sociopathy. What's that mean?
Well, I mean, authoritarian is sort of the opposite of libertarian on Bingo. The Nolan chart. It means that you're a fascist or you're a totalitarian or a draconian. There's lots of these words throughout history that just mean you want to rule other people. And sociopathy means that you lack the normal human impulse for empathy and compassion. You're essentially,
like people, some people who are really popular on the internet.
Like some people who are really popular on the internet.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that the science shows that, I mean, there are people who are like born as a medical condition as sociopaths, and it's a manageable thing that they can deal with.
They're often alcoholics, and then they stop drinking and it gets worse after a while. They get better for a while, and then something sets them off and they get worse.
But so the science shows that little tidbit.
Yes, Garrett.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
If you're part of the uTorrent Club, you can actually already have the audiobook.
Oh yeah, the Freedom Fiends uTorrent Club. Nice changing the subject, and it was probably a good thing to do. The Freedom Fiends do have a torrent club. We don't keep membership roles. We don't. There's no dues. The only desire for membership is a desire to start torrenting. That is one of our traditions, and. Basically, if you go to the Freedom Fiends site, click on the link that says Torrent Club and read the directions there, you can become a Fiends Torrenter. And you can get all the episodes as soon as they're up, buy torrents, and have them to share in perpetuity. So when we get droned, you will be a Fiend radio node on the internet, basically, which is good. It keeps us drone-proof. And I put up Davi Barker's audiobook of Authoritarian Sociopathy, read on the torrent link, and it has, like 70 cedars or something now. It's doing really well. And it's voiced by Daryl Perry of Free Talk Live, and I really like it. And you were listening to it, Garrett, while doing something very cool, which kind of fit. What were you doing?
Oh, it was so neat. I was sitting here playing with my little rep that I was talking about on a couple of episodes ago. Yeah, it's a 3D printer, and so it's very involved. You have to use your mind and think about stuff, but I needed something else to listen to. So I'm like, okay, I saw this thing got uploaded already. Go to hop on the interwebs and get it myself, and lo and behold, I already had it because I'm a part of the Torrent Club.
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting afternoon there.
That's when people say what are you doing today, and if you said, well, I'm putting together my 3D printer and listening to an audiobook of authoritarian sociopathy, Someone could probably guess what your personal politics are just from that statement,
yeah,
I think.
I guess so.
Yeah, what do you say, Garrett? Has the book completely changed your view of authority?
No, it's probably reinforced it.
It definitely reinforced it, that's for sure.
Yeah, so this involves authoritarian sociopathy is, I haven't listened to it yet because I don't even have time to listen to all the Freedom Fiends episodes, even the ones I'm not on. So, but I get the gist of it. Now, is this book calling for some actual testing of this theory?
Yeah, so in addition to the sort of review of previous experiments, there's also the design for a proposed experiment that I've been talking about for about a year. I proposed it at Porkfest last year and won a contest with it. And since then, I've sort of consulted with actual credentialed psychologists to make a design that is scientifically valid and ethical and, you know, plausible. And so, yeah, it is. And so we're probably going to start a campaign to start sending the book to psychology departments around the country and see if we can get someone to actually do it.
Are you going to send them the link to the audiobook or the PDF or actually send dead tree squished ink stuff?
It could be both. Our original plan was to send the pulp version. But that was before the audiobook existed. So, I mean, we could just blast everyone we know with the audiobook.
I would have a download for the audiobook and the PDF and offer that to them because you don't want to waste money sending dead trees to people who are probably going to throw it in the trash anyway.
Got to use.
Yeah, we could also put a quick link to the audiobook into the book. Like it could be on the back cover or something like that.
There's no way to make MP3s clickable that I know of. There is a way to make AAC or ACC audio clickable, but nobody wants to bother with that. MP3s have won the format wars of what podcasts should be. You know, a lot of people have podcasts, they say are podcasts, and they're really not podcasts. So like, check out my podcast, and it's like, you know, a link to YouTube or something, like He Who Cannot Be Named, for instance. That's not really an audiobook. I mean, that's
this
not
is
really
like the black hole we're orbiting around today.
It is. Getting sucked into it. It's fun. I just want to get it. It's going to get out of my system, and I'm never going to mention it or think about him again. You know, other people do this too. Like Shanklin does it. I think Shanklin has audio files now, though, too. But basically, to have the functionality of a podcast, you need to have audio. And I'm not saying like to be Michael Dean's rules of what is a podcast. I'm saying like to have the efficiency and the functionality of a podcast, you need to have a website with audio MP3s and you need to have an RSS feed where you can subscribe to them because nobody wants to sit in front of a YouTube channel. I mean, I guess a lot of people do and they sit around and hate and stuff, but you know, you can get your YouTube channel taken down. It's a lot harder to get a website taken down. And even if you do, if you have the .bit link, which, you know, we have for this, if you got the meow bits and the name coins, you can still find it. But mainly it's just, you know, even not even relying on someone, whether or not they're going to take away your channel, which is happening more and more for periods of time. And I think it happened to him, and it also happened to Stefan Molyneux, who we're going to talk about a bit too. We got some beefs with him, but not beefs. We don't want him to put a gun in his mouth, but he's a Canadian, so he doesn't own one. So we just want to have, we have some critiques of him. And they're so polite, they'd never do that. They would just suffer in silence like British people, like our friend Bernie. They're so polite, those non-Americans. Americans just say what they think, and it's what makes them Americans, I guess. So, yeah, but you need to be able to, like, people want to be able to listen on the go. That's the beauty of podcasts. Like, Garrett, would you have watched a YouTube video that wasn't about rep rapping while putting together your rep rap?
Actually, no, because you can't just listen to a video.
Yeah, man. It's audio.
You know, maybe the definition of a podcast is that it can be put on an iPod. You can't put a YouTube video on an iPod. Right.
Actually, you can, but you have to download it and encode it and put it on. But it's a lot of work. But yeah, I mean, originally,
that sounds like who wants to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a podcaster I really like. It's Mark Maron, who's a comedian. I want to give a shout out and tell people to check this out. Maron is a comedian I really like. I like his sense of humor, but he's also like, if I were going to write a fictional character, it would be the actual guy, Mark Maron. He has a show. He's a 50-year-old guy with too many cats who has a podcast and is really sarcastic. I mean, that's me. That's my, you know, if I were going to write a guy, it'd be him. And he actually did a show this weekend comparing podcasting to radio. He went on some Morning Zoo crew to be interviewed. And they weren't taking him seriously, and they were making fart noises and stuff. And he just interrupted him, and he's like, "You guys are, this is a dying medium." You know, he just like railed on radio. He said, "This is a dying medium. You know, you guys are making fart noises on the Titanic. And why do you have to give out the time, the time every few minutes? There's clocks everywhere. Everyone's phone has a clock. Every computer screen has a clock. There's clocks on walls. Why do you have to give out the time?" And the host just looked really kind of sad for a second and then goes, "Oh, right. It's 4:15 here on KWBL. KBabble or whatever." Like, he had to do it, you know? So, and then at some point he gets invited to get a radio show, and the host that he's going to do it with is Phil Hendry, playing some fictitious version of himself. It's pretty funny. Who's a radio guy who recently gave up radio and went to podcasting voluntarily because he wanted to and had more freedom doing it.
Because it's the future.
Yeah, I'm not going to denigrate radio. I like being on radio, but there's a really funny line where like the Hendry character beats up the program director at the like Enormo network they're trying to get him on. And as Hendry and Marin are being taken away by the police in handcuffs, the program director yells at them, "You guys are done in radio." And Marin said, "Everybody's done in radio." Yeah, so, you know.
All right, so whatever happened to Molyneux? I want to know what's going on with this guy. Yeah,
he's jumped the shark, man. He's not pod faded. Pod fading is when you stop doing a podcast. And we want to talk about that because we've been talking about podcasting and why more people should do it. And Garrett actually pod faded. He started a podcast a couple years ago and, you know, did it every twice a week, then once a week, then twice a month, then once every 4 months, and then just stopped. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it came to an abrupt halt, too, because at one point in time, in my own defense, I lost my website. I wasn't able to pay for it anymore at the time, and it got to the point where I was like, I either
dude,
need to
I
just
paid for
nip
it.
This thing in the
if
bud.
I would have lent you $10 to pay for that or whatever, or I would have hosted it because you're my friend. You didn't
and
have,
see,
you
the
didn't
other
have to
thing
pay.
Is...
Quit clicking. Quit
I really
clicking.
Wish I would have... who's clicking? I'm not clicking.
Someone's clicking.
I really wish I would have had more of a reliable co-host. Like, I went through... 3 or 4 different like co-hosts on that show, and it got real difficult to keep somebody else rallied and involved and wanting to do stuff. I mean, it's like it's kind of like pulling teeth just to get somebody to have something to talk about that was actually interesting and on point with the theme of the show.
Yeah, and I've really carefully amassed my 12 co-hosts, and they were most of you were available like the day NEMA stopped. You know, I was just like, okay, right. I know 8 people I'm going to do and 4 more I'm going to call. And they've all been good. I mean, it's a lot of cat herding, but I like doing it this way. I like being the main host with a bunch of different co-hosts that all have something to say and putting them on one or two at a time. And it's fun. But yeah, I can, it's a lot of work to do a podcast. It doesn't pay much. And you know, of every 100 people who start a podcast in a year, probably 30 of them are still doing it. They pod fade. Y'all pod fade.
Exactly.
We'll be back with more about the Molyneux effect when we come back, which is the fact that every libertarian loses their mind, or at least their internal filters, around 20,000 hardcore listeners. that guy said he was Jesus recently, basically.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to torrent
Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Meow, 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 meow.
Ow. Worms.
Worms.
So what's the Molyneux effect, guys? It used to be called the Dean effect, but I thought, I don't want people to think it's about me. What's the Molyneux effect?
Yeah, it's a good change. Calling it the Dean effect confused me, because usually you name that effect after something, after the person it happened to, you know, like Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the person who discovers it, like Einstein's theory of relativity, but...
Yeah, but in this case, it was confusing.
I don't want my name on this.
The Molyneux effect is that there's a tipping point at which your audience is so large you lose track of reality and you start saying wacky things.
Yeah.
Because it's essentially like the echo chamber has melted your brain.
Yeah, yeah. That's the long form version of it. The short version of it is every libertarian, I would say every internet celebrity, you know, every internet media person loses their mind, or at least their internal filters, around 20,000 hardcore fans. And not 20,000 listeners or 20,000 hits on their website or whatever, but 20,000 people who wake – you have more fans when you have 20,000 hardcore fans. That's 20,000 people who wake up every day and go check you out. Like, what's he thinking? What's he thinking? Whereas I think that he who cannot be named started with zero fans already having the Molyneux effect in effect.
Well, he's also got delusions of grandeur, so you have to figure that each one fan counts as like 20 for him.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I don't know if he's a sociopath, but he has some indicators of it, and that is, you know, you don't feel compassion for people. You want to hurt people. You get off on hurting people. You look for weak people to hurt, people that you can bully on the internet, and, you know, you don't have a connection with reality, and you are totally into ego stroking, you know, everything everyone said. Now, the Fiends, this is kind of funny because we're bashing two libertarians in one cast. The Fiends are generally exist in a vacuum of like, we don't even talk about the rest of the liberty movement because I don't care about it. I'm not in it. I don't talk about it. I have not left my house in 5 years, and I went to Porkfest and had a great time. But yeah, and I don't want Molyneux to stick his gun in his mouth. I just want him to go back to being good all the time. He has said some crazy stuff lately. He said, without me, meaning himself, the world would be set back 2,500 years. Wouldn't find these truths again for 2,500 years. He has recently said.
Did he say him or philosophy?
He said him.
He said his show.
He said his show. He has said that if you're into karate, you're a broken person and a violent person, which is ridiculous. He said,
you know what? That's totally insane. You know why I first took an interest in martial arts? It was when I realized that I was engaging in a political philosophy that could get me landed in jail, and I wanted a weapon they couldn't confiscate. That was what got me interested in karate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, like, he said some things about women that were insane. He who cannot be named also hates women too, or is really into denigrating them. Which I don't get.
It's a different hate.
What do you mean?
Like, I think Cantwell is a full tilt misogynist. Like, I think he hates women, period.
Well, I don't think he gets any either.
Yeah.
And that can make you
a little bitter.
Yeah. And Molyneux's married.
So the interesting thing about Molyneux is that he knows his history, and he knows the source of his malaise about women, and it's the previous women he's dated who were sort of nasty, and it's his mother, and he's sort of open about these things. And so from his perspective, he's sort of like – he's upset about the culture's treatment of women, and sometimes he loses sight of the collectivism in that, you know?
Yeah. He has called feminism socialism in panties, and sometimes it is, like state feminism, but – I think he hates all women except his wife, and I have a lot of friends who are women, and I'm pretty nice to them. And actually, he who cannot be named has been just horribly mean to some female friends of mine, like hit on them. And they're like, no, go away. And he's just like gone into a barrage of calling them fat and calling them pigs and calling them this and whores and that. That is just unacceptable, man. And that's what's going to get him shot. Here's the thing about Molyneux. I don't know how you people can still be into him when he's saying crazy stuff. It's kind of like saying, well, Jefferson was into liberty, even though he talked about owning people as a good thing. You know, it's like you got to be consistent. You got to be either saying smart things all the time. You can't say smart things and fill them with, you know, pepper them inside with insanity and then go back to the smart things and be thought of as a smart person. It's kind of like bands that used to be great and then they got popular, like Green Day, Rolling Stones, Thomas Jefferson, you know.
Corn.
Yeah.
I think Metallica is on that list.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So stay small, man. Don't make it your day job. Just do it for fun.
Be humble.
Worms. It's been a great show, guys.
Worms.
Thank you for the good time.
Worms, guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Worms.
Let's go first, though, to Michael W. Dean, the host of Freedom Fiends, with us here tonight. Go ahead, Michael.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
It's pretty funny.
Hey, what's up?
How's your brain?
It's good, man. It's been a nice recovery week here from the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Yeah, I had so much fun with like living vicariously through you just tripping your brains out. And yeah, that's,
I really,
you know, they
wasn't
say,
tripping very hard on
buzz
your show.
Buzz driving is drunk driving. The government tells me that. So, you know, one quarter of one old hit of acid on the radio is tripping, you know, what's on radio. So I went out and bought a Lexicon MX200 effects unit, and the Freedom Fiends will never be the same, and nobody will like to listen to it.
Because you're going to start using effects on your microphone?
Yeah, I just got it, and this is the first test of it. So gotcha. There you go.
It's working. I'd like to let you know. Well, what for our listeners that don't know, you were out at the Porcupine Freedom Festival last week. It was your first time visiting Porkfest, and it seemed like you and your wife, DJ, had a lot of fun there. And it was also a lot of fun doing your show in the middle of the night. You do Freedom Feeds from 1 to 3 in the morning. And so you actually had me come on the first night that you were there, and I had taken a very weak dose of LSD earlier in the evening.
Yes.
And
you have taken some LSD. <last evening. laughs>
And my board
just so hard.
The remote. Yes, no, it really wasn't that hard. If I was tripping too hard, I wouldn't have wanted to come on the air, I don't think. But anyway, the board that I was using there at Porkfest has vocal effects on it, very much like the ones you're using now. But thing is, the way that it's set up, and I don't know if there's a way to make it work the way that we might have wanted it to, the listeners on the radio did not hear the vocal effects. So you were turning on echo and reverb and, like, you know, devil voice and chipmunk voice, and you were doing all of these effects, and everyone in the audience at Porkfest could hear this. But to the radio listeners, they weren't hearing any of that. And so it was like people listening to the same show were not listening to the same show. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just for the listeners in the room. The people playing the home board version of the game did not get the effect. And there is not a way to do that when you're doing a mix minus like that, which is why I got an effect that does it before it goes out on my microphone.
Very cool, man. Well, it sounds like you're going to have fun with that tonight, or I guess it will be tomorrow or Monday or whenever it is.
Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah,
I actually did call in about something, though. So,
okay, good.
When I showed the movie that I made, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom at Porkfest, I hadn't seen it in 3 years since it came out. Hmm. You know, because when I come out with something, I don't rest on my laurels. I move on to the next big project I'm working on. So I actually got to see it with an audience there, and it was really fun.
Was that the first time you'd ever screened it in front of an audience like that?
A Porkfest audience, okay. But yeah, I'd shown it a couple places before, but no, but it was the first time it was in front of the right audience, okay. I would say. And so I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, God, there's so much like minarchism, and the Constitution's gonna save us, and the stuff that I believed 3 years ago when I was making it.
Wow.
You know, I went from minarchist to anarchist while making it, basically from just hanging out with Nima Vidati every day, you know, and so I'm watching, and I'm like, you know, this movie's 99 minutes long, and if I took out about 20 minutes of the Constitution licking, it would be a much better movie. And I said at Porkfest that I was going to do that, and I basically, like, planned it while watching the movie, planned it on the plane home, And then yesterday I did it. I did it. It took like 8 hours. I cut 22 minutes out of the movie. And if you go to gunsandweed.com, you can download the torrent of it, a DVD ISO or a really good looking HD encode, or watch it all on YouTube. And I would invite people to do this. It's like, you know, point and click activism.
So this is like Guns and Weed 2.0. It's more hardcore.
Yeah. I will be sharing the link to that tonight.
It's more hardcore and it's a faster pace.
Definitely. And, you know, cool. I probably took out 15 minutes of statism and then like 5 minutes of stuff that just didn't work after seeing it for 3 years later. And it's really a better movie now. I want to thank Derek J for giving me some ideas technically on how to do it. Like I tried to open up the whole project and it was on a different computer and it just didn't line up. And Derek's like, hey, I did that with my movie. I just took it from the high def output and just chopped. And I'm like, but then the musical jump and stuff, and like the music, it worked fine because the music's all like kind of trip hop that has a beat through it anyway. So it doesn't seem like it jumps when I took it out. A couple places I had to put in an audio fade and a fade, you know, crossfade visually, but it works so much better, man.
Hey,
it,
far out,
you know, because also when you make a movie, you think you have to put everything in it. You think it's going to be the last thing you're ever going to do. That's how I feel about art. And it's like you look at it with fresh eyes 3 years later and you're like, man, I got to do some chopping. So go to gunsandweed.com and get that and share it far and wide, please.
Far out. Hey, thanks for the heads up on that. And yeah, Derek J did do the same thing with Victimless Crime Spree. Oh, no, I guess not the exact same thing. Victimless Crime Spree was always a hardcore voluntarist, you know, peace message. And it still is. He just wanted to do a shorter...
A long movie can always be shorter. You know, it doesn't have to be really, really long.
No, that's definitely true. That's definitely true. Thank you, Michael. Yeah. Appreciate the call tonight. Yeah, and I mean, I prefer the 90-minute version just because with Derek J's, I mean, we did cut down from like 8 hours of footage basically into a feature-length documentary. And it was our goal to have a feature-length documentary. And I don't think you can really argue that 60 minutes is feature-length. I think it pretty much has to be... You know, at least an 80 minute, if not 90 minute movie for it to be considered feature length. But the 60 minute one is really solid. It's a good one. So if you're a little more time challenged, you can just watch the hour long version. And both of those are available at victimlesscrimespree.com. Just click up on watch in HD free right up there at the top of the page and it'll link to both of them. So very cool stuff. Toll free number and it's free. At victimlesscrimespree.com. Our toll-free number, 855-450-FREE-JOHNSON.